for herself, she declared that she would live like Cinderella as the princess at the ball. Today was mine. The budding author bought a typewriter, as well as splashing out on clothes, silk dresses and lingerie. I bought the kind of coat I had always wanted, she enthused, and a tan felt hat to match. Edna, who had always loved music, invested in a piano and a radio. Many of the women bought automobiles so they could get around more easily. Yet the girls were also financially astute, investing in building and loan shares. Not a cent of the money has ever entered this house, Grace informed a reporter. To me, money doesn't mean luxury. It means security. Those $10,000 are safely invested. What for? Asked the journalist. Grace smiled enigmatically as she answered. For the future. And the money wasn't the only boon to their spirits, for many of the doctors they consulted now offered hope. Von Sohotsky announced that, in my opinion, the girls are going to live much longer than they themselves believe. Even Martland, noting that there had been no deaths for some years of the ilk suffered by Molly Maggia and Marguerite Carlo, theorised that there were now two kinds of dial painter cases, early ones and late ones. The early ones were marked by severe anemia and jaw necrosis. The late cases lacked or had recovered from the anemia and jaw infections. Martland thought the faster decay of mesothorium accounted for the difference. The girls were under attack ferociously for the first 7 years, but once mesothorium moved to its next half-life, the attack diminished sufficiently to spare the girls, almost as though their poisoning was a rising tidal wave, and the women had managed to scramble to safety just as the waters began to recede. Although the radium was still bombarding their bones, radium was notoriously less aggressive than mesothorium. Martland now posited that if the late cases survived the early maladies, they had a fair chance of surviving radium poisoning altogether, although they would always have those moth-eaten bones from the radium rippled right through them. I am of the opinion that the girls we are seeing now, he said, while they may be permanently crippled, have a considerable chance of beating the disease. That prognosis, bleak as it sounded in some ways, gave the women that most precious of commodities, time. Someone may find a cure for us, even at the 11th hour, Grace said brightly. Most of the girls went away for the summer. Albina and James set off on the dream of a lifetime, a motoring trip to Canada. Louis Hussman took his wife on a long, leisurely tour. Edna wrote to Berry, We have a cottage overlooking the lake and enjoy the beautiful scenery. While Quinta and James MacDonald took a few trips to Ashbury Park, they didn't go mad. Quinta was aware that this money was to see her children all right, no matter what happened to her. However they spent the summer, the girls could rest easy that help was coming to other women similarly afflicted, in the light of the tremendous publicity caused by their case. A national conference into radium poisoning would be held at the end of the year. In addition, Sven Kerr was now undertaking a much more detailed federal study into radium poisoning. There is no question that this is an occupational disease and that there should be a reinvestigation, commented Kerr's boss, Ethelbert Stewart. He was asked why some firms were still using the old brush application method when others had been invented, and replied shrewdly. The new methods probably were too slow for the greatest profit to the manufacturers.